And it's good to be here with you this morning for lesson four of our Wisdom from Proverbs series. So over the first 3 weeks, we introduced the book of Proverbs, and we stressed the importance of wisdom. We looked at what wisdom is. We looked at wisdom's value, and last week we looked at the path to wisdom. We define wisdom as a type of knowing that's based on a right fear of the Lord. It stems from the right application of knowledge. Yeah, handouts are right back there. Most basically, and I think a bit elusive, it's knowing what to do next based on our current understanding of the information we have, of the facts that we have, and of the circumstances that we're in. We never just want worldly wisdom. We want heavenly wisdom. But that heavenly wisdom also has personal qualities. So if you looked at James 3:17, it would say, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." So it's not just that we have the facts and we know what to do with them. Wisdom carries with it this extra personal quality as well. We learned in Proverbs 1:7 that a right fear of the Lord, which is more of this reverence and awe of the Lord, is the beginning. It's the foundation of knowledge for the Christian. Wisdom knows that you cannot make sense of the world or live a full and successful life unless you see God behind it and involved in it and seek understanding of it from God with reverence and humility. And last week, if you were here, Rusty did a great job leading us through thinking about the path to wisdom. And one of the central verses he used was Proverbs 13:20. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And we saw that wisdom is not hidden, but there is a call available to all who will hear it, all who will ask God for it, and all who will study the whole Bible to find it, as if it were a treasure. And we learned that wisdom is grown through proper biblical actions, behaviors, and attitudes. And so today we begin the rest of the course. Rusty said last week was kind of the end of the three-week introduction to this class, and today we start the rest of the class, which is really just a series of individual lessons that are going to pull out specific actions, behaviors, and attitudes that the Book of Proverbs speaks on, and our goal is to grow in wisdom as we consider them. So our topic today is what Proverbs says about counsel or counselors. And as a bit of a spoiler, if you think about what a counselor does, we're going to see this more interpersonal nature to the call by the call of wisdom. So my hope today is that, like in the past classes, this is both going to be time of teaching and interaction. And so I'm going to start right up front with that. And so first, when I say counsel, this isn't a trick question. This is not a hard question. When I say counsel, what comes to mind?
Legal counsel, like a lawyer telling you what the law says and how to apply it to your situation.
Sure, and it's David, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
Helping someone who needs help.
I'm going to say talking through help.
Talking through, excellent. Kids. Anything?
I actually think my mom, she's doing biblical counseling.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. In a word, advice.
Advice. Excellent. All things I was expecting and hoping you would share. So why is it that, let's not consider the Bible right now. Why is it people get counsel? Why is it people ask for advice?
Because
nobody knows everything and we all need help. Absolutely. Anything else?
We need to be corrected.
We need to be corrected. Excellent.
Learn from other people's mistakes.
We learn from other people's mistakes.
Have a problem.
We have a problem.
wanting confirmation of what they might already be doing.
This is great. We could be done here in 2 minutes with this class. No, those are all great. And then where is it? Now open up the aperture a little bit. Where is it people today get their counsel, their advice, their instruction? Anything. Social media.
The news.
Oprah.
Google.
I love it. Well, that's all exactly what I was expecting you'd say, so that was very helpful. People take guidance from multiple sources, but do we take it from the right place if we really want to get good advice? So yes, counsel is all that. I want to orient you a little bit to your handout. Yes, it's 2 pages. That's because I've provided most of the verses we're going to talk about today, because I want you to be able to look at them and chew on them a little bit as we go through this. So I also put a few blanks on there. So on that first page, your handout there. So counsel is everything we just talked about. So the dictionary simply would define it as advice, guidance, and instruction given in directing the judgment or conduct of another. So advice, guidance, instruction, directing the judgment or conduct of another. It can also be defined as purpose, plan, or design. As purpose, plan, or design. And so that's the dictionary's verse, but as we're going to see, the Bible actually uses it very much the same. So in the Bible, counsel refers to carefully considered plan or purpose, and that can be of God or of man. Counsel also simply means advice upon which a plan or course of action can be formulated. And this can be from God or from man. And as you can imagine then, that could be either good advice in God's case or sometimes could be bad advice in man's case. So a quick note. The idea of modern counseling is not the focus of this lesson. Although the principles, I think, could certainly apply, right? I recognize that kind of counseling, biblical counseling, as even was brought up this morning, it's a super important function. And because we as Christians believe God's word applies to all aspects of our life and it can speak to everything that life can throw at us. There may be issues in life that take more careful thought and wisdom from someone maybe specially trained to help us make connections that can make a difference. And if that's the case for anyone in here this morning, I would encourage you to talk to an elder, talk to a friend, get those connections into the church. But that's not specifically the focus of today's lesson. But I think all the things we're going to talk about will certainly apply. So let's dive into the text. Except I forgot one thing. Nope, we're right. Sorry. The text. So so what did I do? So I got one word when I was assigned this class, and it was wisdom from the book of Proverbs, counsel. So what did I do? I went and looked up the word counsel in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs specifically. And so that's really kind of, I want to just take you through my process of preparing for this class as we're going to do that together. So if you were to start as I did, searching Proverb for counsel, and then maybe for those other words, advice and guidance, to see what it says, you'd see two basic themes fall out. And they're exactly the themes that we already discussed under the definition of what counsel was. So of first importance is the preeminence of the counsel of God. That's on your handout. The preeminence of the counsel of God. And of second importance is the advice and guidance of a multitude of others. The advice and guidance of a multitude of others. And those two ideas simply are going to be the teaching points for today. And then I'll do my best to wrap up with some application. So let's jump into the text. And as I said, I put them all pretty much every text we're going to talk about today, I'm going to ask you guys to read them, but you can go to your Bible for them. That's great. I got the ESV versions in your handout. And so as I call on the audience, if someone just wants to read through these, that would be great. So starting with main point number one, God's counsel, counsel as purpose or plan. So can three of you pick these first three Proverbs, 8:14, 21:30, and 19:21, and just read through them for us?
Proverbs 8:14, I have counsel and sound wisdom, I have insight, I have strength.
Proverbs 21:30, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord.
Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
Thanks. So Proverbs 8:14 is actually wisdom talking, saying, I have counsel, and I have sound wisdom, I have insight, and I have strength. And interesting enough, in Proverbs 19:21, the ESV actually uses the word purpose, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Other translations say counsel. It is the counsel of the Lord that will stand. So it's easy to see how these verses, you can kind of interchange and substitute the word counsel and the word purpose. And when we do, we're reminded that of first importance, and something that we probably actually neglect to spend the right amount of time reflecting on, is that our God, the Lord, is sovereign, and His purposes stand. Look again at Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, no understanding. There is no plan that will stand if contrary to the will of the Lord. So I want that to sink in a bit as we consider, again, our plans, our current circumstances, the issues that we're dealing with. Our plans and desires, first and foremost, need to begin with, and they need to be sustained by our pursuit and our understanding of who God is, what His character is, and what His plans and purposes are, many of which, I'll admit, He very broadly informs us of, and we would like more specifics. And as we do that, we're going to be transformed through the renewing of our minds, and when we do that, we're going to notice, and others around us should notice, that our desires and plans start to look more and more and more like the plans of God. Again, it'd be really easy to gloss over this. I don't want to do that. So to let that settle a little bit, I took my word search and went a little deeper into Scripture for counsel and this idea of purpose and plan and counselor. And those three verses, or those four verses, are on your handout as well. And I'll read these. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So not only are God's purposes sure, but He brings us along with them, and He instructs and teaches us in the way that we should go. He does not do it passively, right? He doesn't just wind us up and let us go, but He does it actively with His eye on us, and He watches us with empathy. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 28:29. This also comes from the Lord of Hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. And then Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So on your handout, I gave a blank for just to savor. Just savor this, right? The Lord working in every believer's life to save us from sin, restore us back to Himself, and shepherd us home, has promised to guide us in His purposes, which are in fact paths to righteousness. They don't ever fail. That's part of His covenantal care for us. That is part of His covenantal care for us. So savor this. God is guiding us to his purposes, and this is part of his covenantal care. So the one whose purposes stand has not just set us in motion on a path, again, only known to him, and then he doesn't just leave us, right? He's the wonderful counselor who is always available through his word and other ordained ways, which one of them will be our next point, to instruct us, to advise us, to guide us, to transform us for his name's sake. And for his name's sake, that just reinforces his involvement, right? As God's children, the sheep of the shepherd we are, he stamps his name on each one of us and wants us to wear his name well and carry it well as we go through life, where his name receives all the honor and the glory, because he's growing us through the work of his Son and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so our desire for sheep is for this, and thus we're always turning back to him for guidance and direction, for counsel, to understand his purpose. J.I. Packer, in a book called Guard Us, Guide Us, Divine Leading in Life's Decision, it's an excellent book on the decision-making process, says, so in making our decisions, in living with the decisions we have made, and in trying to please this great and glorious God wherever we are and whatever we are doing, we should always look to him for help and strength. Even when our starting point is our wish that we had made different decisions so that we would not be where we are now, and even when we cannot change our present circumstances, much as we would like to, how many of us start there, we can still count on his presence with us, his readiness to show his way for us, and his power to help us move along it, next step by next step. He will not withdraw from us and leave us to our own devices. On the contrary, he has pledged himself to lead and look after us. So wisdom calls for us and reminds us in these verses to pursue the Lord. God's guidance, what we all look and seek for, right? It comes through his appointed means. It comes through scriptures. It comes through direct Bible teaching, through biblically informed wisdom that discerns, it digests, it applies biblical principles in the action of action in light of a biblically focused overall view of God. And we could throw out 2 Timothy 3:16, which I'm sure we most have memorized. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we see reinforced in this first point that interpersonal nature of wisdom, again, that we were talking. But it's the more vertical nature, and it's with God. And as we're going to see next, he's going to guide us through purposeful interactions with and from fellow members of the body of Christ. This is a more horizontal view of the interpersonal nature of wisdom. So our second main point is man's counsel, and this is not so much counsel as purpose or plan or design, but counsel as advice, guidance, and instruction. And this is where we'll find most of the references for counsel, advice, guidance, and instruction in Proverbs, is in this section. So there's a bunch of verses here. Love for y'all to help me read them. Kids, you're welcome to jump into. So if we could step through these next series of verses here, they start, and then you turn over your handout for the second page. So Proverbs 11:14. Who would like to get us started? Go ahead.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety.
In Proverbs 15:22.
Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Next.
Plans are established by counsel, though as guidance, wage war.
Proverbs 27:9. Oil and perfume makes the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Next one.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice.
Proverbs 13:10. By influence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice with wisdom.
Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future.
And Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So after reading through all these, should we seek advice or counsel from other people? It's a bit rhetorical of a question. Absolutely. I mean, look at this. Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance wage war. Certainly it's the bigger the magnitude of the decision, the more in tune with counsel we perhaps should be. Right? Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. We should be careful how convinced we are of our own plans. Proverbs 13:10, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Insolence, I had to look it up. Boldly rudeful, disrespectful, insulting. Rude and harsh personalities will not serve us, right? It's through humility, and it's through humility, of walking with others that will bring blessings. And that's where wisdom kind of hangs out. That's where wisdom congregates. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So how we listen today will show its growth in unseen fruit tomorrow. Dennis.
Yeah, I just struck me that particular verse that is very counter to today. I think most people seek wisdom in the moment for an immediate problem or challenge, whether it's legal or whatever it is that you're seeking, but it tends to be, I got this, oh no, let me go find something here and now. But I really like that verse because it is about a lifelong growth.
Yeah.
And really building that wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you. Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. We never arrive at full wisdom on this side of eternity, right? So we need to keep seeking. We need to keep listening. We need to keep hearing. And if there's a lot of other places in Scripture to talk about advice in this context, but Ecclesiastes 4:13 would say, better was a poor and a wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. So yes, absolutely, these verses tell us the wisdom of getting counsel and to pursue advice and guidance from others. We want to let our present thoughts be tested and assessed by others when we have to make significant decisions. So, that first point, right? Searching the Lord's instructions is definitely the primary method for us. And it's the hard work, and it's sometimes really hard work we're called to. But in His wisdom, God also ordained that we should have a multitude of advisors. So, as Dennis mentioned a bit, does this go against the teaching of the world today? Or kids in school and the places you interact with? Does this go against the teaching of the Western world at all? Culturally, the seeking of advice? Is there pressure?
I was going to say, I think the world tells us just go with how you feel at that moment.
Okay.
So feelings drive everything, and feelings change. So it's just, and determine that yourself. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to talk to anyone else about it. Or something I'm thinking about from these verses is, if we see a Christian brother or sister struggling with something or trying to make a decision, as a fellow image bearer, is reaching out to them and be like, hey, let me, like, they might not reach out to us, but like still going to them and having and following these verses by listening to someone that reaches out to us that might see something that like we don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things, did you have anything?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking that underneath all of this is the presupposition that there is right and wrong. And I think the world around us would not point anything in that direction.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know if it's a new phrase or an old phrase, but maybe I'm just picking up on it more now, but it's this, you do you and I'll do me. That seems very countercultural to the idea of going out and getting wisdom or even accepting advice from others. Dennis?
Yeah, I'm not a good verbal processor, so forgive me. Steph's much better at it. But, you know, this is all based on a faith, centered on faith, right, which is not sight. And today, like, the worldly counsel and worldly, it seems to be, obviously, feelings as people talked about, but also I wanted to kind of say that I think a lot of it, and I'm putting myself in that basket too, it's always some outcome. I'm trying to achieve this outcome. It's like, this is where I want to get to, so I need this to get me, drive me there, where I look in scripture and I see more of God saying, trust me, right? The faith is about not necessarily understanding exactly where God has you, and you might not know, but it's more of that, just trust me in this next step. You know, I might be thinking I need to go over there, but God says, no, I'm going to take you over here first, right? And that's the wisdom, right? If it was up to me, I'd say, no, I need to go directly over here, God. But he's like, nope, I need you to go this way first, right? And it's sort of that step-by-step trust and faith building that is, like, to me, so tied into the wisdom and counsel of God. And it's not just some outcome that's trying to be achieved.
Yeah.
Hopefully that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. I think that's our first point. That was our main point number one, the counsel of God, right? I think it's so easy when things get hard and we don't know what we should do that we, you know, if we're trusting in Proverbs instruction, we start running out to others and we stop turning back to God to pursue him. But yeah, another thing I was thinking about was just this cultural idea of individuality, right? The idea of being your own person. We are certainly all our own person. But that means individualism, right? That we do everything on our own. And you have nothing you can say to me, right? You do you and I'll do me. I don't spend a lot of time in social media, so and I tend lately not to spend a lot of time in the news either. But I do sense that that's certainly out there. Yeah?
I feel like another, you know, flip side of the coin is, like, good counselors, but also be bad counselors. And there's lots of, you know, examples through scripture of how even the Lord works through kind of corrupting the counsel of those that are around kings and others to for his own purposes. So I was curious if you had thoughts on, like, you know, a multitude of counselors is good if they're wise counselors, but it could be equally as dangerous and maybe even hurtful if it's bad. Thoughts on, like, how you distinguish between, like, who are the counselors that I want to have around me?
We're going to talk a little bit about that more in application towards the end. But I will say that one of the things we should think through and be careful of is that the multitude of counselors, like, this is not an equation. Like, I go get 20 people, therefore I will be able to make a decision. It is, wisdom is not in the multitude, right? Wisdom is God's. God uses other people to draw us and steer us by his grace and by his spirit, but it's not in the multitude. That shouldn't prevent us from going to the multitude, but it's not in the multitude. But if you still have some questions on that as we get towards the end, then just raise your hand. So, David.
One other thing that just came to mind with regard to both God's counsel and counseling and receiving counsel from others is you have to know the source of that counsel, and correspondingly, you need to really know the person if you're giving counsel. And so there's a relational aspect to this. There's an investment up front before you even think about the counsel in its specifics, that there's like you said, it's trust-based. And so there has to be insight before there can be counsel to have it be relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll draw a little bit more about that in some brief application at the end.
Just adding to the source of the counsel is that there's a genuine, like, I care about you, and I want to give you this counsel, because is like, whatever, I don't really care.
Right.
Like, live your life. Whereas the council that we're talking about here is because we're one body, and we have to care about each other.
Yep.
And that's going to also say one word, the world. It's just look at what everyone else is doing and then conform to that, or as opposed to just really seeking like what is true and what is the wisdom that we can look for in this. It's just kind of a, let's just kind of do what everyone else is doing, which is we're not called to necessarily do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to draw on that a little bit more in just a bit too. But you can definitely see this, again, savor the Lord, and we need other people. We need other people despite what culture will tell us. So just to throw out, again, this isn't a counseling class. This isn't a how to make decisions class, which would be great classes. But what, like any personal experiences either giving or getting counsel for why, like again, why, more specifics. And kids, I think my kids are in here and like, man, I'm giving them advice all the time. Like they don't even ask for it. But so sorry. But so kids, I think you are much more at your stage just always receiving counsel. And so for you, it's this idea of tuning your ears and learning how to tune your ears. But for all of us then, or others, what kinds of life experiences or things have you, you don't have to give us all the details, but like topically, what kinds of things have you, or do we need to seek advice for? What are good things? And I bring it up to differentiate between like the DRBC, the group, the Google group. I mean, if you just survey that, there's all kinds of counsel happening, and it's good, but it's much more often logistical counsel, right? And there's the hope, certainly, that underlying it in the church is this deeper counsel for issues that are going on.
So when my wife, Amory, and I were thinking about getting married, and we both just moved back from Japan, and we were individually stationed there with the Navy, but there was a family in Maryland that I had known well, and they had agreed to put Amory up so she could kind of visit where I was, you know, then living without obviously staying with me, present some problems. But the first thing they did, which I wasn't necessarily anticipating, was they sat us down in their living room. And yeah, you know, I wouldn't call it, you know, aggressive interrogation, but it was just very kind of targetedly, okay, what are you guys' intentions to each other, and you know, why do you think this is a good idea? And it was really just trying to draw out some of that context of, okay, what are you thinking? Why are you thinking it? How does this line up to what God might want for your life? And it was very helpful. And it was very clear that they cared, that they at least knew me well enough to, you know, kind of speak to how to set that discussion up in a way that would be helpful, so that then they could really evaluate, okay, in their mind, you know, were they seeing, what were they seeing? And because I trusted them, and they weren't the only ones that really kind of spoke into our lives in various ways to kind of encourage us, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, on that on that same life event, from what I knew about Dave before we got married, I liked him and I thought that he would be a good idea as far as, you know, what God would have me looking for. But how much can you really know a person? So there was another Christian couple who knew both of us who really thought that was a good idea. They really advocated for Dave, and so I really appreciated their counsel because I knew my limitations and how much I knew him.
Sure. Thank you.
I think one example is like in Rehoboam in scriptures, it really hit me hard. Like he listened to the younger guys.
Yeah.
So in my life, the more I listen in, I mean, not saying all the time it's bad, but they'll tell me counsel that flatter me. So initially, it feels good, whether I'm working relationships. Like, I'm not really going to grow. And then there are probably older people in my life that told me things. And I was like, looking back, I was like, yeah, I probably should have listened to that.
Yeah.
Like, but it didn't, like, flatter me. Like, initially, it was like, it's not going to make me
feel better about myself, but I know if I take it, it'll probably make my life a lot better down the road. So, yeah, I'm just glad it wasn't as disastrous as his case, where the whole nation just like
right. Split. Yeah, and the reference there quickly is in, you can read it in Kings and Chronicles, but it's Solomon passes away, his son takes over, and the people come and say, "Hey, we'd like you to treat us better." And Rehoboam goes to some elderly council, and they say, in essence, treat him better. And then he goes to his buddies, who basically say, no, treat him worse. And he listens to those, and they doesn't go well for him. Doesn't go well for him. But even more broadly, right? Even though we're forgiven from sin, there's still sin in the world and sin in our life. And so as someone mentioned earlier, we need to be checked on those kinds of things as we go through life, right? We all have flaws. We all have blind spots. Left to ourselves, we'd never see them. We need people to test our motives, even dating motives. Self-serving ones we may be tempted to gloss over, right? Wisdom wants to test our thoughts and have them assessed by others. And we have to be careful of that self-sufficient pride and this more individualistic independence, right, that the world would say that we all have and are entitled to, right? And that humble realism of all of that produces this community in this church where each person seeks to help others where they can. So this kind of came up last week as we were talking about the path, and we looked at the path to wisdom. The company of people, and we've already alluded to it, the company of people most basically that we should be approaching, that we should be going to, are...
Those who are rooted in the Word.
Believers, Christians, those who would call themselves children of God, right? The fellowship of believer. Now, not to say that non-Christians can't give good advice. I go to the doctor all the time. Well, I actually should go to the doctor, but I don't go to the doctor. I go to the car shop more than I'd like to, and I trust the expert's advice, right? So it's not to say that I need to be going to Christians for every single thing in life. However, if you're and especially if you're not sure, then wisdom would call us to the fellowship of the believers. And ideally, that's the congregation. That is the church where you are a member of. That will be our primary field of fellowship, where we gain advice and instructions and have our ideas for God's will individually tested. So asking and accepting advice, giving and receiving counsel, being as open to corrections as one is to encouragements, and recognizing that the traffic is a two-way street, that's essential to the well-being of all of us, especially in a church, and thus is one aspect of faithful discipleship. If you haven't looked at the church covenant we all agreed to when we joined the church, do that. Do that regularly. And if we embody all that and are striving to all that, we will be wonderful counselors to each other. So I want to transition a little bit to what do we do, right? I'm unsure of God's will for my life. I'm unsure of how I should handle my present circumstances. I am seeking the Lord. I am seeking advice. Should the answer just come to me? So the answer is no. Just like we are called to do the hard work to stay in God's word, to seek advice, we then have to do the hard work of weighing all that advice when we're done. So just a few quick thoughts on what to do after you get counsel from others. On your handout, Dennis stole my thunder earlier. He said, all this stuff's really centered on faith. And that's true. So the bottom line really to weighing advice often is just simply faith and trust. We have to spend time thinking through the advice we receive. We have to pray for discernment and wisdom to process it. So assuming you're getting advice from other believers, we do have to remember that also good faith advice from a fellow believer does not guarantee good sense advice. I would hope it gravitates to that, but it doesn't guarantee it. So this may apply more to advice you receive from other Christians who don't know you that well. And advice from a close Christian friend, that could be a different matter. You might trust that more. And as you recall from Proverbs 27:9, we've already gone over that one. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So there is something special from counsel from a good friend. And as I said earlier, I could go a million ways with this lesson, and we could sit and talk about how to make decisions. I don't really want to do that. But in an audience even this large, right, there could be people in here right now that are telling themselves, I'm seeking God. I'm praying for discernment. I am looking for and inviting sound advice from other godly people. You may be thinking, I'm doing all that, but I still don't know what to do. Or I'm doing all that, and all my advisors, the horizontal relationship, are telling me, don't go do that. But you may not be hearing from God that you shouldn't go do that. And you feel like maybe you should go against the advice you're getting. These are all very real. In that first case, where you still don't know what to do, we just continue to be honest with God. We continue to seek advice and be honest with those advisors. And ask for help in evaluating our conscience of any sin or any motives, right? I'd say if you can take a break from your decision-making for just a little bit, take a break from your decision-making process for just a little bit and give yourself time to have your thoughts settled. But if you've collected your information, if you've sought after the Lord and been in His Word, if you've received advice from others and evaluated your motives and your sin that may be influencing you, and if it's time to decide, I'd say you step out in faith and trust in the way that you believe you're called. And then you move forward, right? Always moving forward, sensitive to information you continue to receive, but you simply press forward in faith, seeking to honor the Lord with your plans. That's hard. That is really hard. So in that second case, I think it's a very, it's not a normal case where you're feeling led to something that you're getting advice to not go do, right? It's not a category the Bible doesn't speak of. If you look in Acts 20, verse 22, I don't have these on your handout, so I'm just going to go through these. The Apostle Paul is convicted that he is going to start going towards Jerusalem, despite knowing that he's probably going to be persecuted. And then he says that. Acts 20:22, and now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. So he starts that journey to Jerusalem, and in Acts 21:4, he gets counsel in Tyre not to go. Acts 21:4, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Continue the journey further in Acts 21:11-12. And coming to us, he, this is a prophet, Agabus from Judea. I love this one, because I'm not sure if I want advice from this guy or I don't want advice from this guy. But Agabus took Paul's belt. Like, imagine me taking your belt, sitting in front of you, right? Binding my hands and feet with your belt as a visual picture of what I think you shouldn't do. And thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Everybody urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Paul went to Jerusalem. Right? All the counsel he got from the disciples, from godly believers, said don't go. Their motives were for his protection. It's not necessarily bad motives. But Paul understood that his call through the Lord to take the gospel and defend the gospel was more important than his own safety. So I think that's a rare example for most of us today. but it's an example that's out there. So not only may we get maybe not the best advice from others and go against it, but it's hard. So these things just make me want to cry out more and more for wisdom and the Lord's help. So some basic application. Back to our handout. Just thinking through this more broadly, right? I hope maybe this spurs on conversation amongst community groups and gatherings as you have them. But just want to talk through a few things to those who are requesting or seeking counsel, and then to those that are providing it. And we're going to kind of do all those at the same time. So in your handout, first and foremost, acknowledge God's sovereignty. That was our first main point, in essence. God's plans and purposes will not be thwarted. Right? We need to acknowledge God's sovereignty. Second, we need to pray for knowing and understanding. And because it's important, we're going to write it twice. We need to pray for wisdom. Right? Fervent prayer is a key to requesting wisdom from God, and it demonstrates and it assists us in continually demonstrating our submission to His will. So who to look for and who to be? So we should approach those who are genuinely concerned for us, right? And that know us. And that you know. And they have the right amount of time to kind of get to the background of what we're dealing with. And if you're pursued for something for advice, say, we need to be genuine for that individual. We need to do our best to take the time to spend the time with them. The person that we seek advice from should be biblically sound. They should be spiritually mature. They should be aware of their own blind spots. We, if we're seeking good advice, should also strive to be biblically sound, right? We should come to that discussion, maybe having evaluated our blind spots, what we think they might be. And we should be spiritually mature as well. The people we seek advice from should be good listeners. They should ask good questions. On the flip side, if we're the requester, we should also be good listeners to what they have to say. We should ask good questions back. It should be a dialogue. The person we seek advice from, probably in many situations, it would be best if we know they can be confidential, right? They can use discretion as needed. And because the process of good, sound advice means some vulnerability on the side of the person giving advice from, because they're not perfect either and they've probably learned some lessons the hard way, we need to take what they say and be discreet with it and be confident with it, or confidential with it as well. We need to look for someone who exemplifies humility and gentleness, yet loves us enough to be honest and objective. So some other cautions. As I already mentioned, counsel is not an equation. The multitude of advisors does not necessarily guarantee wisdom. Second, and I love this one, I've had a few folks come up to me over the years that start the conversation with, God told me to, and then they insert what God told them to do. What do you think? And I almost want to just respond back, well, who am I to tell you something other than what God told you? You've already convinced yourself of it. So in that case, I try to steer them back to some other thoughts and questions. But we all need to be aware of starting a conversation so convinced of what we're just trying to convince someone else to give us, you know, peace of mind that where we're going is the right way. We also need to beware the drift towards relying on worldly wisdom and devaluing the walk of faith. So facts, education, knowledge, logic, personal experiences are all very valuable. But if we rely on them too much, or if we rely on them solely, we're going to have difficulty walking in faith, because faith doesn't always make sense. We cannot be certain things will work the way they were planned. We cannot be absolutely certain all the time of the path that we're on. We are to hold fast to the certainty of God's character and nature instead of the certainty of life's experiences. And on the flip side, we also have to beware of over-spiritualizing and devaluing godly wisdom. We shouldn't over-spiritualize or over-interpret coincidence, signs, to the point where we see them and rely on our emotions, as someone mentioned earlier, to make our plans and our decisions. And then lastly, on your handout there, is we're to watch our motives. Just simply even 2 Timothy 4:3-4, right? People will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itching ears. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So in conclusion, Proverbs is pretty clear about counsel, both God's purpose and plan and advice and guidance. Proverbs 19:21, just as a reminder, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purposes, again, the counsel of the Lord that will stand. So first and foremost, as we walk with the Lord, wisdom is faith in action. Wisdom, many times, is faith in action. In faith, we're called to trust God in uncertainty. And as someone said, we now walk by faith. There will be a day. Thank the Lord that we walk by sight. But today, we're called to walk by faith. And God's given us, though, what we need. He's given us his word, understanding of his purposes. And those purposes can't be thwarted, and that should give us great comfort. And the more we walk in the fear of the Lord and grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more our thinking will be made right, and we will grow in godly discernment, we will grow in godly judgment, not only for ourselves, but for the benefit of our brothers and sisters. God is in control when life is going both smoothly and when it's confusing and includes trials. And then second Proverbs, if we go to Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So yes, advice is God's good plan for us. And it repeatedly urges us that the way to wisdom, the way to understanding, the way to sound plans and purposes on a human level is to take advice from those who are wise already. And in doing so, we avoid slipping into this self-sufficient. That's the last box on your handout there. We avoid slipping down into a more self-sufficient arrogance, right, that marks fools. Proverbs language can sound harsh. It's foolish. And that foolishness establishes their folly. So any closing thoughts or questions? Did we kind of talk to or around? Yeah.
So how do you do it in the church when we're all believers, but there might be one just kind of going along with what you really want?
You're speaking to your requester motives.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would say.
Because I feel like I can find myself being like, oh, well, this could be like a way that's honoring the Lord, but it's like my motives aren't really.
Right. Yeah, I think one thing would be in the multitude is a diversity, right? If you're just going to your friends all the time, I mean, that's sweet. Proverbs says the counsel from an earnest friend is sweet. But if we're not diversifying a little bit, we could get stuck in our little box of thought to those that know us. So that's where, the church body is wonderful. So you can pick some people that have different lifestyles, different background, different thought process to bounce it off of. That's one thing. And I think primarily I'm just always kind of turning the mirror back to myself, trying to evaluate just the idea of sin. Like where am I being drawn? What might I really be wanting by asking these questions. And then thirdly, be honest with the people you're seeking counsel from. Say that's a concern of yours. And that might pique their ears to hear more, ask better questions to that area. Those are three things I can think of. Kate?
Yes, sometimes when people come to my husband and I for wisdom, they've kind of already made their decision,
right,
and they just want to inform us something. And I think something that we all kind of do that at times, but I think something that's helpful is to ask, and it could be anybody, just like, can you help me think through what are the biblical principles for this decision? And that kind of takes it off of how you feel or how they feel, but just if you can have someone just open the word with you and say, like, what are the principles? Because if you already have your decision, sometimes when we try to go to those principles, but they've already had their decision made. But if you can just kind of walk through some of those principles together, I think that's a really helpful thing, because that then will kind of either reveal your feelings about it or your motives, or confirm, you know, godly ones.
Yeah.
But I think that's what a really good thing to do, too. And that can be someone at your age or someone that's older or younger.
Yeah.
I think along with that, go and ask for advice and counsel before you make up your mind. Mm-hmm. If you wait and think about it inside too long, it's harder to receive counsel. You're already kind of leaning hard in one direction or another.
Sure, sure. And if we're going to do that, then please give Eric and Kate time to come up with the biblical, like, hey, could I have lunch this afternoon and we could talk through this really big issue I've already decided to do. Be kind to those that we're requesting counsel from, too, and understand they have schedules. So,
I think the motives for giving counsel are as important as the motives for, you know, receiving counsel. I'm convicted a lot of times of giving my kids counsel based on some outcome I'd like to see in their life, maybe for my own purposes, not necessarily what's going to be the best way to guide them through choices they're making. I know another case, I had something that I was really on my heart to talk with my stepdad about, and I realized that I wasn't ready to talk to him about it because I wasn't spiritually in a place where I was simply seeking what was good for him. There were some complicating factors, and it took me a couple of years to get to that point until it was right, and I prayed, and then was able to really look at my motives and say, no, I'm at a place where I can talk to this, to him, with him, only for his good. And that was freeing, but it wasn't immediate.
Sure, sure. Thanks. Well, we're going to close. But again, I hope more than anything else, this was a good reminder to us. It was just a good, again, chewing on the importance of staying grounded in God's word, of understanding who is this God that we serve, and at the same time understanding that he calls us to live in community, and part of that community is walking closely with one another, giving advice, offering advice, and listening to one another. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that your plans, your purposes, your counsel doesn't change. That it's the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. And we thank you that it's good. We thank you for blessing us with churches, with the covenantal care of other members. And we pray that you would cause those relationships to grow, that the fellowship of believers here would be strong, that we would be good listeners, that we would all be seeking wisdom, and that we would be able to share that with humility. We ask now for a blessing on the service as we go. Help us to hear your word in all ways, Lord, as we sing it, as we pray it, as we hear it taught. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.